Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Again, I am in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23. God's word says, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but dotting about questions and strifes of words. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." May God add blessing to the reading of his word tonight. As we continue in our study and in our look at 1 Timothy, and we, through that, what we are looking at is Paul's specific instructions to Pastor Timothy. So as we think about it, let's think a little bit about our previous message. We saw in the previous message some very specific things that the elders are supposed to be dealt with as far as naming an accusation, as far as pointing out faults and failures. They're not to be believed without witnesses, without credible evidence. That is to prevent someone from carrying a grudge or somebody from pushing an issue. And likewise, if there is a problem with the pastor and there is sin, that sin needs to be brought out before and to the pastor so that he can be repentant and so he can establish his credibility and keep his credibility as a pastor. The whole point there was to make sure that the pastor remain pure and wholesome and repentant in his life. Because if the pastor isn't repentant in his life, then he has nothing to example to the congregation, to those that he is responsible for leading. Well, as we move with that same thought, the responsibility of the pastor. The passage tonight says the pastor was to care about his calling. And from how he was from that and the care of his calling, it reflects back on his discipline. In doing so, we see that the care of the pastor and his self-discipline in his life is an example and is a practical application for the church and for those under his care to follow. So what Paul tells Timothy is that he is to care about his reputation and to realize that in caring about that reputation, not only does it require certain things of other people when making an accusation, it requires repentance on his behalf, but it also requires discipline on his behalf. Paul tells Timothy to care about those he aligns himself with. Paul tells Timothy to be careful how he aligns himself and whom he ordains and whom he sets apart. Because when a pastor ordains someone, then that pastor becomes a credible witness to that person. And if that person fails in their own life, they discredit that pastor, because that pastor should have taken the time and the discipline in his own life and in his own heart. But sadly enough, tonight, there aren't many pastors in many churches and many organizations tonight and associations tonight who actually view ordination in a biblical manner. They see it as something that they can hold leverage over someone with. I will make this person do what I want them to do, or I will threaten to remove the ordination. I will threaten them. It will be a leverage piece. That's not what ordination is supposed to be. Paul tells Timothy, do it and do it right and be responsible and be disciplined and maintain a godly reputation and a godly credibility. Timothy was to care about himself and was to care about what God expects of him and in his service. So tonight we're going to carry on with the thought of a call to care. And from the passage that I read, I want you to notice with me three things that Timothy was given a call to care about. Paul told Timothy first in verse 23, he has a call to care about his physical health. Verse 23, no longer drink water, but use a little wine. Now, I have heard this passage spun around in all kinds of angles and twists and turns by folks trying to justify this or justify that. Folks, the bottom line is the Bible is talking about, and Paul is talking about, real wine. Yes, it is fermented, real alcoholic wine, just like you would go to the local store and buy tonight. Now, why? Well, it was obvious for his often infirmities, for his stomach's sake. It was a medicinal thing for Timothy. You see, in Paul's day and in Timothy's day, there wasn't a lot of really good drinking water in the Middle East. It was full of bacteria. It was full of all kinds of things, because honestly, the drinking water, the wells were open wells. Animals would fall in the wells, and no one would know the animal had fallen in the well, and it would lay there, and it would just deteriorate in the drinking water. And nobody would know it. In the rivers and in the creeks and everything that they drew their water from. Think about this. Your tribe, your family is drinking out of water here, but the next tribe up the river is washing their clothes in the same water that's coming to you to drink from. Bacteria was prevalent. Sickness was prevalent. What would happen with the process of wine is the water, when the fermentation process, the water would be, the bacteria would be killed in it. It would be drinkable. Paul does not advocate alcohol. Paul does not advocate Timothy to start being a drunkard or a partier. He tells Timothy to take wine for his health. He's telling Timothy to take care of himself, to watch his health, to care about himself. There is a reason, because if Timothy isn't physically healthy, then how is he going to be able to maintain the discipline and the work ethic and the time that's involved to be a pastor? And I'll be honest with you tonight. Being a pastor and preparing messages and the work of a preacher and the work of a pastor is very physically demanding. You may not think that it is. I know I hear often, well, preachers don't do anything. They only work 3 hours a week. Okay, come hang with me. Come on and hang with me. I'll see you at the house at my study at 4:30 in the morning. And we'll start then. And you can leave and go home about 9:30 at night. And then we'll start it the next day all over again. And that's if there are no phone calls or no trips to the hospital or anything of that nature. And it's not something that any pastor flaunts about doing, but the reality of it is there's work. There's hard work that's involved in this. And in order for you to do it, you have to take care of yourself. And at the same time, if the pastor isn't taking care of himself, what kind of a message does that send to the congregation and to those that are listening? Why, if I didn't try to make at least an effort at taking care of my health and taking care of myself, what would that say to you about your health? What kind of an example would that set about the importance and the discipline that you should have in your lives about your health? If a pastor is going to be an example to the people that he serves and to the people that he is responsible for, then is that not a full, well-rounded example that should not include the physical health and the physical well-being of his congregation? Paul says yes, and he tells Timothy, don't let yourself stay sick. Take some medicine for your infirmities. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake and for the infirmities that you have. Take care of yourself so you can do the work that is placed before you. And likewise, take care of yourselves because God has gifted each one of you in a special way to do His work. The preaching of God's Word is to prepare those that are listening to do the ministry of God's work. And if you're going to do the ministry of God's work as it is preached to you from the Word of God, you're going to have to maintain a reasonable amount of health in order to do that. Take care of yourselves. That's what God wants. God wants you to do what you can, as you can, to be as healthy as you can, to be His service for His cause. Well, notice also in verses 24 and 25, Timothy has a call to care about his spiritual health. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before judgment, and some men follow after. Likewise, the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Folks, very simply put, Paul told Timothy, listen, there are some folks whose sin is very obvious before the community, before the church, and before anything and everything that's going on. And there's some that it stays hidden from and it won't be known until judgment day. But the bottom line is sin, and Timothy knew what sin was. Timothy knew what it was in his lifetime. We know what it is today. And Paul was telling Timothy, avoid those sinful lifestyles. Avoid the sin that you know about. Don't go jumping in and don't go getting involved with stuff. Don't be getting yourself into some type of a sinful habit or a sinful lifestyle. And he told Timothy likewise that there are some folks out there that their good deeds, their godliness is very open and very obvious before everyone around them, and some not so much so, but it cannot be hid. Living a good life, living a godly life, according to God's Word, not according to the attaboys from people, not according to all of those things that go on about folks, because we can pat each other on the back all day long, but if we're not living according to God's Word, we're not living a godliness in our life. Paul tells Timothy to not become a man of sin, but to remain a man of service. And that holds true for pastors tonight. That holds true for yours, dear, myself. Do not become a man of sin. Avoid the sins that are the pitfalls in this life. We all confront them. We all have our faults and we all have our failures. We all have our shortcomings. We all have had our moments. And all we can do is apologize, ask forgiveness, seek repentance in the eyes of God, pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and move on with doing God's work. And that's what we need to do. And that's what we need to be letting each other do. But we need to be conscious that we are to avoid those pitfalls as much as we can and learn from them when we do find them and when they find us. Because God wants us to remain a person of service, men and women of service to Him. Verse 25 tells us that. Good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. If we're going to be a service of service to God, if we are going to openly be obedient and submissive to God's call in our life, and that's what we're going to pursue, then we're going to have to pursue it God's way. Not our way, not the church's way, not the Southern Baptist way, not any other way, but we're going to have to do it God's way. Care about our spiritual health. If pastors today would care about their spiritual health, the congregations would be much more spiritually healthy than they are in most cases. Pastors can't be wishy-washy about their own spiritual health and expect the congregation to be at the top of the game. Paul wanted Timothy to know that the spiritual health of the congregations that he had in Ephesus, that he was in charge over, was his responsibility. And the only way they were going to be spiritually healthy is if he was spiritually healthy. It makes a difference. It makes a big difference. And lastly tonight, I want you to notice with me that in chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, Timothy has a call to care about his doctrinal health. He is first told not to be wrongly influenced by those that he answers to. If a man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor. Paul told Timothy to respect those that he answers to. The Bible, the King James Bible, uses servants and slaves, servants and masters. Those that we answer to, we are to respect. Now that may not be easy all the time. Whether it's at work, whether it's at church, whether it's in the government. But nonetheless, we are to respect them. Why? Because if we disrespect those that we answer to, how are we ever going to be an influence in their life? They may not be godly people. They may not be born-again Christians. They may not be saved by faith. They may not have Jesus in their heart and in their life. But how are they going to get them if we don't show them the godly respect and the testimony of Jesus Christ that they deserve to see? Not because they've earned it, but because they're in a shape of being lost. They're in a shape of being out of God's will. They're in a shape of having something wrong in their life. And it's up to us to set that standard, to set that example. Let the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. If we disrespect those whom we answer to, whom we are responsible, then in a very, very real way, we disrespect God. Because it is His testimony that we're carrying. It is His. But then Paul tells Timothy, those that are believing, those that we have some responsibility and accountability to, that are believing, not to despise them. Not to hold against them because they have some authority. One of the most frightening things I believe I've ever witnessed was to see someone, a godly supervisor, to see that person actually railroaded by one of their own employees just because the employee felt jealous or felt pushed aside because that man's a Christian and he ought to be doing this for me. That man's a Christian. He ought to be doing that for me. And I watched him get railroaded with absolutely nothing that I could do to stop him. He was despised. And he was a believing supervisor. He had a godly heart. Take care to understand that those are brethren. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. Before they're anything else, regardless of the worldly position they may hold, before they're anything else, they're brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul tells Timothy, treat them that way. Give them the respect that they deserve, but treat them like they're brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't be wrongly influenced by those folks. The pastor is a servant to others. And as a man that's in service to God, first and foremost. You see, pastors are called into their service by God. God is our ultimate authority. He gives us our marching orders, if you will. But just as Jesus took the role of washing the feet of the disciples in the upper room, God puts it firmly in the heart of every truly called pastor that they are to have that servant's mentality toward mankind, toward their brothers and sisters. A true pastor is someone that's not going to be just a good orator with the Word of God, but it's going to be someone who is the illustration of a servant. An illustration of a servant so that others can follow and so that others can pick it up and can work it out in their lives and in the lives of their family and in the lives of their community. Because again, if we're going to be an example, we have to be the true example. And that is what Paul is getting through to Timothy, to be that example. We're not to be wrongly influenced as a leader to others. The pastor is a leader of men as God's appointed shepherd for the local congregation. And when we look down through verses 3 through 5, we see that if anyone teaches other than the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ and to any doctrine which is anything other than godliness, there is a whole list of things there that he is guilty of. And the first one is pride. Pride is that sin that will lead us into any and many other failures. Pride is that sin that makes us defensive. Pride is that sin that has me saying, yes, but I did it because. I said it because. I meant it because. The word because or but is always in that phrase, and pride stands out. Pride takes a person to knowing nothing but dotting about questions and strifes of words. In other words, pride takes someone and turns them into just a babbling fool. They're talking a big talk. They're rambling on about things that may sound good. It may stir up a lot of feel good. They may get a standing ovation. They may get a go. But when it comes to the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to the Word of God, all it is just words. Timothy can't let that influence him. Timothy can't let those things take him down a wrong road. No pastor should, whether it's in the first century or the 21st century. Pastors need to be attentive to what's going on in their lives. Pastors need to be attentive to their call, to their call to care about their physical health by taking care of themselves so they can physically endure the work that's laid before them. They should have a call to care about their spiritual health so that they can avoid becoming a man that has fallen into the pits of sin, and they can remain a man of service to God and the service to God's people. Pastors need to be a person that has a call to care about their doctrinal health, that they're preaching and teaching the doctrine of the Word of God and not some doctrine that is pleasing to a person or a group of people. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to be appreciated. Everybody wants to have kind and nice things said about them. But one of the first things you realize when you become a pastor is it doesn't work that way. I was told several years ago when I first started preaching, understand this about preaching. Preaching is going to do one of three things to people, and this will happen in every message that you preach in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Folks will either be mad, glad, or sad by the time they leave. And it's going to be different with each group. Each message is going to have a different group of people that fit into each one of those categories. But everybody that leaves is going to fit into one of those three categories at the end of every message. That's just the way that it is. And we can't change the message to fit the congregation. That's not godly. That's not what we're called to do. Yes, it steps on toes. You don't have any idea how much prayer it takes to prepare a message because it has to be preached to me before it can be preached to you. How much self-reflection goes into every message that's put together. How much thought, how much concern, how much love. In order for it to be a proper influence in the lives of those that are listening, it has to be a proper influence in my life. And that means moving me out of the way. That means repentance when it's necessary. That means falling on my face before God and asking for His words, not mine. That means for a call to not be wrongly influenced so that I don't become a bad influence. I want to stay God's appointed shepherd for the local congregation. And then finally, he tells Timothy, do not associate with the wrong people. Supposing from such withdraw. People that won't repent. People that won't seek forgiveness. People who are wanting to be divisive. People who are wanting to be troublemakers. People who are wanting to stir up stuff. People who are wanting to get arguments started. People who are wanting to come up with evil things and evil thoughts and evil gestures in order to try to be divisive and stirring up problems. Get them to repent. Preach the gospel. Preach it, preach it, preach it. But if it becomes a point where those folks are just not willing, don't fall into their trap. It's best to get away, to move away from them, and prayerfully hand them over to God and let God have His way with them and move on to the next work that God has. It's a stern thought. And I do know pastors who have left under verse 5 from such withdrawal. Whether it was legitimate or whether it wasn't, I don't know. That's not for me to know. That's between them and God. But I do know that that's what they said when they discussed it. A call to care is a call to love God first, to love the people that God has put us in the charge of. A call to care is a call to care about ourselves physically, spiritually, and doctrinally. Timothy couldn't take care of God's word, God's will, God's work, or God's people if he didn't first take care of himself. This means physically and spiritually and in all other ways. If a pastor truly loves the Lord and truly loves his brothers and his sisters in Christ tonight, he's going to make sure that he takes care of himself in every possible way. That doesn't mean he sets himself up on a pedestal. It just means that he loves his Lord and loves the people he's in charge with to take care of himself so that he can be the best example and be the best influence and be the best messenger that God can have. That we do our part so that God has a vessel to work through. This sets an example for everyone listening to be able to follow, to place themselves in a submissive obedience to God and God's will in their life. Let's all take an opportunity to think about a call to care and how we can apply that in our life as a Christian in order to better serve God and better be the witness he wants us to be. Let's pray.